Let's hear from Coach Pikul on today's episode of the Inside Rutgers Athletics Podcast. The podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official health care provider of Rutgers Athletics.
Great to have you with us for another edition of the Steve Pikul Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. The 7-4 Scarlet Knights getting set to take on Wisconsin on Friday. And of course, it is his podcast. So let's welcome in the head coach of the Scarlet Knights, Steve Pikul. Coach, how are you?
Jerry, I'm great. I appreciate you having me on.
Always. So before we get to, you know, the last couple of games and before we get into Wisconsin and what's coming up ahead, we start with a sad note, and that's because I saw your tweet today and the press release as well. Coach B. Rowe from UConn passed away at the age of 91. And I know he was the head coach there in the 70s and a mentor to Jim Calhoun. And I know you know him well. Just your thoughts on the man, the coach, and obviously a sad day.
I mean, a really sad day the other day when, you know, we got that news. There's certain people in life that you're fortunate enough to spend time with and that are just really special, you know, special people. He was the head coach, you know, at the University of Connecticut. And throughout my whole career there, he was an administrator, but he was more than that. He was a mentor to student athletes. He was a friend. He was somebody that always lit a room up. You know, he coached in the 1980 U.S. Olympic squad with Dave Gavitt was the head coach. He was the head coach at Worcester Academy for a long time. He had ties to all of New England and maybe one of the most respected people that I've ever met. And would always call me after losses, Jerry. Like, you know, didn't call me after wins, would always call after losses. And just truly a special person and, you know, a legend at UConn, did so many things for so many people, had friends all over the place. It's just very disappointing. You can't celebrate his life during COVID either. He would sell out Giant Stadium, you know, with his friends. And family, and now I just really just a sad day. I want to thank his family for giving him to us for all those years. I mean, they shared him with all of Connecticut and all of New England, and he was a big Rutgers fan too down the stretch. And you know, he'll be sorely missed, and the notes he would write and the phone calls and just the great advice from a guy who had seen it and done it all. Just really, really, really sad.
You know, listening to you go through that, it's amazing. And I guess it's like this in most fields, I suppose. But, you know, the game of basketball, what it's meant to you and the friends you do meet along the way. And it's not only that you meet along the way, but and you've spoken about Coach Calhoun how many times. These are lifelong friends. It's just, I don't know, it's amazing just hearing you speak about it. And you're having that impact on people right now, and you probably don't even realize it. It really is something.
Well, I tell you, he was an example of it, and the impact he had on so many. And I was fortunate to be at UConn. I met him, you know, in 1986, and he's been a part of my life since then. And just an unbelievable person, teacher, coach, mentor. And a dear friend, and a dear friend to many. And I saw the tweets through the week and the different people that commented. It's just amazing. He touched lives everywhere. He was a part of Middlebury. He was a part of Worcester Academy. He was a part of the Cape Cod. He was a part of UConn, huge part of UConn and our UConn family. And he'll be sorely missed and never be replaced. There's nobody like him. I've never met anybody as compassionate and as you know, willing to help everybody. So just a great example of what's great about sports and what's great about relationships and what's great about, you know, people. And he was 91, and even up until the end, he was still calling and, you know, hang in there or whatever it may be, advice, coaching. You know, this is what I did back in, you know, my coaching days. So always just somebody that you could really, truly lean on and always had your best interest. And always the advice was heart, you know, felt and great advice, you know, great advice. So be dearly missed. But, you know, really, again, thankful for the Rowe family, his whole family, for sharing their father with us for all these years. And I know we took him away from a lot of events, family events, and he did so many things for so many people. But he's in heaven now.
All right. Obviously, very well said. With your team now, a weird week because of the game early on Saturday and the game at Penn State postponed, as we learned, and then not another game until, you know, this coming Friday night. So it's a pretty good break in between. The news coming down today, though, that the game has been rescheduled at Penn State for next week. So you go from a big stretch of nothing, essentially, and getting set for Wisconsin, and then next week you'll have the three games in a week. Has this break been good for this team? Because, you know, watching the last two games, Michigan State, Ohio State, after a remarkable game, just a really good college basketball game against Iowa, Joe and I sat up there in the press box after both of them, and, you know, we talked to you too, and we look at the box score, and we're watching the game, and you did so many good things right, except score or defend at times. Has this break been good to kind of step back and reassess everything?
Well, yeah, I think it did. We had an unbelievable stretch there too, and not, you know, any days off, and you know, we're a little banged up, and you know, sometimes you need to hit the reset button and get back to, you know, doing some things that you've always done. You know, that's defending at a higher level, that's defending without fouling, that's rebounding, and you know, we kind of went back to basics here, and also give us a little time. You know, guys are starting to get a little more healthy and figuring our rotation out. You know, sometimes when you have guys out and then, you know, they're out of the rotation, then they're coming back from injuries, now they're back in the rotation. And, you know, we've had a lot of that. So gave us a chance to really, you know, assess a lot of different things. Now, nothing gets easier. It's the best league in the country. So as you see these games in this conference, you know, Wisconsin's one of the best teams in the country. And they played Michigan last night. And my God, you know, and I know how good Wisconsin is. So when you see a score like that, you just realize that's life in this league. When you're playing ranked every, you know, it's difficult and you got to play really well. So got a little reset button. I think the guys have done a really good job of focusing, getting healthy too, you know, is going to help us here. And that's what a couple of days off can do for your team.
Speaking of getting healthy, where are now Caleb has looked better and better. The few games he's been back, I thought he looked outstanding the other day. Where are we with Cliff? Is he closer? Is there a chance for Wisconsin, or are we still pushing that out a little bit, you think?
We're real hopeful for Wisconsin now. He started, you know, practicing and playing with us, hasn't done a lot of contact, but, you know, it's good just to see him back on the floor, and he's running and jumping, and, you know, he's got to get his timing back and all those other things that that it takes when you've sat out for a while. But we're very hopeful. You know, to have him, he looks like he's headed in that direction, but they haven't gave him the stamp of approval yet, the doctors.
One of the things, and you touched on it already, is the rebounding, and the numbers haven't been good the last few games. But that having been said, watching the game the other day against Ohio State, I saw a lot of those long rebounds, you know, the jump shots, they hit the back of the rim, and there was one that was on the opposite side of the court for you guys, where if you got a stop, you were making a run, who knows? I think you'd got it to 7, I think. Could be wrong on that, maybe 9, but whatever. But the energy was back. There was a three-point shot that hit so hard and far off the rim, and I don't remember who it was, but one of the Buckeyes is just standing there, and the ball pops right to him. One thing that you guys, or at least Joe Boylan, has talked about is you guys want to get out and run a little bit. Does that take away your ability to run when you're trying to stop those long rebounds and you can't get out ahead of the play?
I mean, that does, you know, for sure. And, you know, Ohio State really played at a high level too in that game. They really made some difficult shots after watching the tape. But that affects your ability to run. And then fouls also affect your ability to run. And we've put teams at the foul line in those games, you know, that we haven't won. And, you know, all those things factor in, and we do like to run. That's something that I think we're good at. And I think we, you know, have added now some additional ball handlers now that Gio's healthy and now that Caleb's healthy and what have you. So, you know, we want to do that, but it all starts, you can't run before you rebound, and we got to just do a better job. And we're getting a lot of second shot fouls too. So when we don't rebound, we're paying for it, you know, at the free throw line too. So, we spent a lot of time and we watched a lot, you know, a lot of film this week. The guys, you know, have been really good. We're close, but in a league like this, you know, you got to be really good. And we're doing a lot of good things too defensively. Like we're way up in steals, one of the best steals team in the conference. So we haven't been that way. We're also one of the best shot blocking teams in the conference, and that's been without Cliff, who's our best shot blocker. So we've done some really good things. We have to tighten up, you know, the screws in some areas. And I think as we continue to grow with our rotation and getting those healthy guys back, I think, you know, we have a chance to be really, you know, really good. But everyone in our league is good, you know, so you have to be great on those particular nights.
Yeah, no off nights, as we know. Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Another area you guys have been not good but outstanding in has been the turnover game. You guys have not given the ball away. What has been the key to that? And is that something that can continue, or is it just been a handful of good games? Because the numbers are ridiculous. They're not good. They are crazy good.
Yeah, and they really are. And at the beginning of the season, we were turning the ball over, you know, at a high rate. So we really buckled down. The guys have done a really good job of taking care of the ball. We've added, obviously, a couple guys, good ball handlers. Paul Mulcahy, he's always been really good with the ball. And, you know, now we got Caleb back. He's been really good with the basketball too. And Ron Harper's done a good job. So they've done a really good job of adjusting from the first few games where we were up in those areas. And we really share the ball. We've done it at a high level all year. We're having the most assists that we've ever had. So that's another good sign when your team is connected that way and passing the ball. You know, we really have to get, you know, our numbers better on that defensive end, you know, of the floor. And I think we, you know, did a lot of stuff. When you have a little bit of free time, you can watch more film. You could just do things that you're not able to do when you're going game to game to game. And, you know, this has been very valuable film time for us, too. And, you know, just get these guys, you know, connected and understanding how hard the league is and how many obstacles you got to go through. And we got to just be prepared for that. It's never a smooth ride being a basketball coach. It's never smooth. There's a lot of bumps. There's a lot of obstacles. There's some snow on the road sometimes. There's some ice. You know, you got to be able to navigate a lot of different things. And injuries are part of it. COVID's a part of it, you know. But that's part of the journey. And that's why I love the journey. Every year is different. Every, you know, game is different. Every obstacle is different.
Well, it is amazing how every season has different seasons within the season. And, you know, I think you're in the middle part of one right now, and hopefully you get out of that coming Friday. When you talk, the one thing that I find interesting, and people ask me, why they ask me, I don't know, but they do ask me, we talk about film study a lot and watching the film. What goes into that? Like, you've had this week, and the guys have spent a lot of time looking at it. How much of your staff, like, a game is over, you've got some guys that are on to games ahead, and then you've also got guys that are looking at what just occurred. How do you take the team through a film study? And, you know, in a minute or less, I don't want to kill you with this, but I find it interesting.
No, I mean, it really is, and it's a lot. I'm lucky I have a good staff. We break down everything, you know, from the games that we play, and we break down everything from the games coming up, you know, so the opponents of the teams that we play against. And, you know, we just try to teach, you know, off of it. So we have a defensive tape. We'll have an out-of-bounds tape. We'll have where we're fouling tape. We'll have good shots, bad shots tape. So, you know, we can get guys in the room, you know, like I just finished up. I had the guards in the room. Well, here are some guard plays. Here are their guards that you're going to play against. Here are some of our guard plays and what we have to do to, you know, attack the other team. And then the big guys come in afterwards. And, hey, this is what we're doing well. This is what we can take advantage of from the other team. And, you know, we also send out – we do practice tapes. So tonight everyone will get something from today's practice, you know, too. So, you know, we spend a lot of time. We're really lucky that we have a couple guys that can break down everything. But, you know, today was – we were breaking pressure a couple times in practice, and so I want to watch film of it, and then I want to send it out to the players. Hey, you give me a flash to the middle at this time. You're not playing, you know. And the guys are good. I mean, they'll get back. Anything that's on their phone, they're reading. That's one good thing about the phone. I don't like the phone, but that's one thing I know. If you send it to them on the phone, they're looking at it. And we try to do a really lot. And then we try to prepare for the game. And these are the things that we think we can do. These are the things that other teams have done. You know, so film is you know, is a very big part of it. And the players that embrace the film the most, really, they can improve a lot. You know, just by watching film. And it's good because you're not using their legs, and it's not a physically demanding thing. It's just a mental demanding thing, but can really help them.
I'm always amazed when we get on the plane after a road game and the laptops are up and the coaches, I mean, they're not on that plane 3 minutes and they're already looking at it. It's very impressive. Let me ask you this. Ron Harper had the great start. The injury tweaked him a little bit, or tweaked by the injury, I should say. How difficult, the attention he got and where he's at now, how hard has it been to get him in the proper space and to get the good shots like he was getting earlier in the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're not going to get those, you know, like teams watch film too and do a really good job. And, you know, I tell Ron all the time, I used to tell Gio all the time, you have to now be better than the scouting report. You know, you have to be better than scouting. Not going to give you open. When you shoot 50% from three, you know, a team's going to spend their whole preparation saying, don't give him an open three, you know. So Ron can score in a lot of different ways. And I think that too is where we have to, you know, make some adjustments too. He's not just a 3-point shooter. He's a really good mid-range guy. He can really post up. He can drive it. You know, but we have to be creative too and how we move him around. But he is now getting the best defender every game. And so we say sometimes you guys like the rankings or when you're rated a good player or something like that. Well, you know, when you are, you're now getting the best. You're getting the best defense and you're getting the most attention. Now you still got to be able to do it. And so he's learning that. Gio has gone through it too at times. You know, and those are just adjustments and you have to keep improving. And then you see how different teams guard him. And you hope that those lessons that he learned from the game against Syracuse or the game against, you know, Maryland, now the next time he sees defense come that way, I can say to him, hey, this is exactly how Maryland guarded you. You know, these are the three things that we can do to get you some points and stuff. So you hope eventually with the experience, they get a feel for all the different things that, you know, people are throwing at them. But when you're that guy that's the leading scorer, you're going to get thrown a lot of different things. So you have to make those adjustments.
Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Rutgers, a home game against Wisconsin Friday night, late start, 9 p.m. Now, you've been all over the place. You guys have had games like Saturday was at 12 noon, out at Michigan State, 9 p.m. This one's a 9 p.m. game. It's one thing when you're on the road. I guess you're just sitting around the hotel. How does the routine change for a late game at home, especially when you've had the layoff like you've had? Like it, don't like it? Are you the type that you want to get up and just play, or are you more customary 7 p.m., you're good with that? How does that work for you?
We just seen this year, we were 12 noon or 9 o'clock. There's no in between. That's what we've kind of, you know, kind of been. And it changes all the time. We're really fortunate and glad we're playing on TV. So that's the big part. They decide those and make those kind of decisions. You know, I think sometimes you wait around all day, you know, 9 o'clock's, you know, late tip off. And especially when you're on the road too, you know, but you got to adjust, you know, I have no say in any of that. So I would prefer to get up and play. That's the way I, you know, I've always been and what have you, but you know, you want to play on television too. The guys love to play on TV. COVID changes everything too, because teams are dropping out and teams have a slot on TV. And next thing you know, they're quarantined and someone moves into that slot. So this year, more than ever, it's always, always changing. You never really know. Today, we just found out about Penn State, you know, had no idea. So you got to make those proper adjustments and hope that we can keep everybody healthy and safe and we can play on television.
You mentioned COVID before we get on to Wisconsin. Everybody asks me, you know, nonstop, you know, doing the games in the empty arenas. 11 games in now. Do you feel like it's kind of back to, I know it's not normal, but does it feel almost normal because it's kind of what normal's become, if that makes any sense?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're just very aware of COVID all the time. You know, we test every single day. I wait until we get the results before we move into, you know, any activity. I'm always nervous. It's just, you know, it's just very different how you approach every day. It's the new normal, I guess, but I don't know if I'll ever be ready to call it normal, because it's always on your mind. And, you know, as we wrapped up practice today and left, I'm like, wear your mask, guys. You know, don't, you know, like, just keep doing it. Our guys have done a really good job. And Rich Campbell, our trainer, I mean, his job changed 100%. You know, his number one thing is COVID now. And then number two is everything else. And three, four is everything else. But everything we decide on, every decision that's made is all COVID, you know, related. So, you know, it's really, you know, difficult, but I will tell you, the players have done a really good job. They want to play, and I'm thankful that we're playing games. There's a lot of teams out there not playing games. I've heard a lot of stories. I've heard a lot of shutdowns, and you know, I think they want to play, and luckily they've done a really good job, you know, being COVID free. But you're always worried because it's right around the corner, and you always hear it right around the corner.
You never know. You're absolutely from minute to minute, you never know, let alone day to day or week to week. All right, Wisconsin Friday night, there was a really cool, interesting stat or graphic that was going around social media last week, and that was the starting five of the Wisconsin Badgers' average age is older than the starting five of the Chicago Bulls. So that to me blew me away, and I actually went and checked all the dates because I wanted to make sure that it was right, and it is correct. You're dealing with a team that is a very veteran group, a team that gets to the free throw line and they make their free throws. So aside from keeping them off the line, what do you have to do, and what advantages does a team like that have, having been together and being a little bit older than most?
Well, I mean, first of all, they're very well coached, and they won the league last year. So you're playing the league champs, just about all their players returning. And you said, like, very experienced, you know, basketball team. So they've won for a long time there. Their system works. They're also the best 3-point shooting team too. They shoot 42% as a team. So they're going to make free throws. They don't foul. They make threes. You know, they space the floor. Trice is one of the best guards in the country, not just in our league. They have two big guys that shoot the ball from deep. And whenever you have, you know, every single guy on the floor that's able to make a three, it just, you know, changes how you have to guard everybody, you know. And so they pose many problems defensively. But their experience helps them, you know, obviously a great deal. But when they throw the ball up, nobody passes out birth certificates. So that's, you know, that's a huge advantage, you know, for them to have older guys that have been through a lot more. But they're really good. They're really good, and they're really well coached. So you got to play really good basketball. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Wisconsin every year, and they've done it for years. They go to the NCAA tournament. They compete for league championships. And, you know, it's just a really, really good program with great tradition and you know, a great coach. So we're going to have to play really well. And they're ranked again this year in the top 10 and have been and should be.
And provide you guys a great opportunity to get the ball rolling again if you can beat them on Friday night. I noticed in that game against Michigan, I only saw parts of this game. I DVR'd it, but I did look at the game story and the box score, and I'll watch it before Friday, but I see they held them to 9-for-28 from three. I guess philosophically, I would ask you, when you're looking at film and you're breaking down three-point shooting, when you see a team have an off night, can you characterize a missed three by the defense or just a bad shot? Like, how do you almost explain 3-point defense, you know, depending upon the percentages?
I mean, you know, we break down our shots when teams make it from opponents. You can guard it as well as you can and still have a guy make a three. So people make tough, tough shots. I mean, Ohio State made a couple, like, very highly guarded shots. And then you can have guys miss wide open ones. They're a really good 3-point shooting team, so they're going to come right back and shoot. And you also have some nights where, you know, I say every year you got two or three games that the ball just doesn't go in, you know. And then you have two or three games that the ball always goes in, and you're going to win those games. And then the rest of them are, like, just fights, you know, like, you know. And, you know, that might have been the case, you know, the other night for them. Like, they just didn't have their typical shooting night. But Michigan played at a high, high level. And Michigan's very good, too. And that's life on the road, too, sometimes. And, you know, but defending the three, it's a lot, you know, it's something that you have to spend a lot of time with. It's how you, your hands, how you close out. It's getting through all the action too. Sometimes you're late just because the action that they're running against you. And it's also knowing your scouting report. Certain guys like certain threes at certain places. And, you know, so you have to be really good in those areas. And when you're playing a team like this that has five men that can shoot it, you know, some teams are lucky enough to have four or three. When you have a program that all five shoot it, and then they bring guys off the bench that shoot it too. So they're always having, you know, that weapon on the floor, and that's what they've kind of done. They don't turn the ball over, and they can shoot threes, and if you follow them, they make free throws. So that's what they've built their program around, and they're really good, you know, solid defensive team too. So you got to be ready, and you got to close out with your hands up, and hopefully, you know, our height and, you know, having Paul and having, you know, Caleb and having Ron with good length, you know, will help pay dividends. But then you got to rebound long shots. You know, threes bounce differently than, you know, post moves. So you really got to do a good job of digging out long rebounds. So when teams are good shooting teams, they pose many, you know, many problems for you.
Last one. We're getting set for Rutgers, Wisconsin, Friday night. Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Last question for you, and this is more an observation, I guess. And I wonder the frustration level, not only from the coaches, but the players themselves, when they are put in such good position. You guys have missed a lot of work from in tight. Guys are there, they put everything right, and the ball doesn't go in. How is that just the luck of the bounce of the ball? Is that something that's correctable? Because, boy, whether, and I'm not going to name names, but you've had guys that have made beautiful moves. They're right there, and the ball just rims out, falls out, spins out. And I got to think it's tremendously frustrating for all of you.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, sometimes, you know, you're going to make some shots and make some tough ones. Sometimes the ball goes in, sometimes it doesn't. But I really think our focus needs to be on, you know, sometimes you drive to the basket and you're trying to get fouled, you know, and the more we can eliminate that, let's go to score, you know, and the foul is always the bonus, you know. But if you're looking for those kind of plays when you go to the rim, you're not focused on the right things. And then you're letting it someone else decide your fate when you get to the basket, you know, the referees. And I don't want to go into, I want us to make sure we're deciding. And so we've spent some time, a lot of time with that, you know, in the last few days, you know, with contact, finishing plays with contact and going to the rim to score, not go to the rim to get fouled. And there are times, you know, you are fouled too. And you know, they can't call everything, but you could still finish the plays off and stuff. So, you know, our field goal percentage has been pretty good, like offensively, quite honestly, we'll continue to get better. And we'll continue to, you know, evolve as we continue to get our healthy guys back and everything. You know, it's the other end of the floor that we got to start really being Rutgers. And we've been a really good defensive and rebounding team for a long time. If we start doing those kind of things, you know, our offense is scoring at a lot higher clip. And that's without fast breaking because of free throw attempts as much as we would like. And we got good players. You know, Geo Baker is a good player. Ron Harper, Paul Mulcahy is a good player. They'll figure it out. They'll make plays. They'll learn from, you know, the games and how different teams are playing us too. And we'll continue to get better. But if we can defend and rebound like we know that we can, we'll be in a lot better shape in these games.
Well, Coach, huge week for you. It starts Friday night at home against Wisconsin. As always, thank you very much for your time, and good luck in the coming week or so. We'll do it again in about 2 weeks.
Appreciate you, Jerry. Thanks, and stay healthy.
Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health.